If you don't have a Bible, or if you don't have New King James, we'll have this up here on the screen so you can follow with us word for word. Luke chapter 19. We're talking about, listen to me, we're talking about making a difference in people's lives. And what I want to show you today is about making a difference in our lives. How many know to really make a difference in somebody else's life, you've got to allow God to make a difference in your life first. Does that make sense? Come on, are we here? Look, I'm only looking for participation. Are we here? You know what? I'm not letting nobody sleep today. Amen? Look at your neighbor, say, I've got a good word today. Pastor's got a good word today. But you ain't going to get it if you fall asleep. Look at your neighbor, say, now is not the time to fall asleep. Look at yourself and say, now is not the time to fall asleep. So this is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. When I was a kid, it was one of my favorite stories in the Bible because I like, you know, climbing trees. I was little. Zacchaeus is little. I just liked it. But now I like it for some other reasons that I'm going to share with you today. Luke chapter 19, starting with verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Jericho was a place, an affluent place. It was a place where there was a lot of commerce going on. So it was very affluent. As a great place. And Jesus is passing through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. That means the writer the gospel wants us to understand. I want you to look at this story. Who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was a shortened stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Then Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him shortly. But when he saw it, they all complained, saying, I mean, no, there were some haters back then. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusations, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also was a son of Abraham. So the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. What I want to ask you today is, what in the world drove Zacchaeus up the tree? Fair question, is it not? So you need to understand who Zacchaeus was. The text says a couple of things. It says he was rich. But what the text also says is that he was not only a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector, which meant he was over many provinces that he collected taxes from. Let me tell you, the Romans were interesting how they would collect taxes, because they would go in and they wouldn't go into a country and annihilate the country and burn it down. They would go in with threats to annihilate a country and burn it down. And so they would allow the country to stay intact, but be under their rule. And so when they, much like how they took taxes, the Romans wouldn't actually take the taxes. they would give people an opportunity to bid on taking those taxes. And different people would bid, different rich people would bid on those having the authority to do that. And if they gave that bid, they would give the bid, whatever it was, to the Romans up front. And then after they had paid the Romans their money, then they would be in charge in going to the Jews and collecting money from the Jews. But there was no set amount. So they would not only take what they had bid and paid to the Romans, but they would take more. And so this led to a very, very aggressive taxation on the people. And the people knew how the system worked, so they knew it was not only the Romans, but it was the Romans and that guy. That tax collector who not only took the money that was given to the Romans, but now, watch this, extra money that was given to them. The tax collector. It was extremely corrupt. And not only was it corrupt, but watch this, y'all here today. Not only was it corrupt, but imagine this, that this corruption was empowering the Romans to stay in power over them. So there was a great hatred for these tax collectors. These tax collectors were very rich. Zacchaeus probably wasn't driving a Lexus. He was probably driving a Bentley. Do you understand? He wasn't driving a Cadillac. He was driving probably a Rolls Royce. Y'all here today? And as I think and I imagine with my imagination, what in the world drove him up this tree? In my imagination, I see Zacchaeus going from house to house. And you've got to understand that this was not a noble thing to do, for this man to run ahead of everybody and go up this tree. You know, when we were kids and it's being preached, it's a cute story. But when we understand this was a full-grown man who was bouffant, who only put Grey Poupon on his ham and cheese sandwiches. Do you understand? And so, what would cause him to do that? In my imagination, I see Zacchaeus going from door to door, collecting taxes. And I can see him going to door to door, and he goes to one door and he knocks. And as he's knocking, this person's not coming to the door, so he knocks more. And as he knocks, he looks at the grass, and the grass is overgrown. He looks at the front door, and the front door needs to be painted. He looks at the shutters on the windows, and the shutters are falling off the windows. And finally, as he knocks, someone comes to the door. And this person who comes to the door, he's blind. And he can notice pretty quickly he's blind. And he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Bartimaeus." "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm the tax collector." He says, "What? Well, do you want, I guess you want some money, do you not?" And he says, "That's exactly what I want. I looked in my books and I saw, oh my goodness, Bartimaeus, you owe quite a bit of money." Bartimaeus said, "I don't have any money." He said, "Well, you owe money." Bartimaeus said, "Can you give me 30 days? Come on, does anybody know about 30 days in the house?" He says, "Can you give me 30 days? He says, "I don't know how I'm going to come up with the money, but can you give me 30 days? And Zacchaeus says, all right, but you owe me some money. Make sure you have it. I'm going to be back in 30 days. Bartimaeus, I'm going to make sure you have my money. And he leaves Bartimaeus' house and he goes to another house and he knocks on the door. And a lady comes to a door and she comes to the door and she's disheveled and her hair is all messy and her dress is wrinkled and her face is distraught and he introduces himself. He says, I'm Zacchaeus, I'm the tax collector and I need some money. I've been looking at my charts and you owe money and I'm here to collect the money. And the lady says, I don't have any money. Can you give me 30 days? He says, 30 days? You owe money now. She says, I know, but you got to understand, I don't have any money. He says, why don't you have any money? She says, because I'm ill. I've got this issue of blood. And I've had it for years and years and years. And I've got all kinds of bills. And this doctor says he can heal me, and I believe it, and I scrape up some money and I pay him, but his treatment doesn't work. And then I go to another doctor, and he says, no, this treatment will cure you. And so I scrape up some more money and I pay him, and it doesn't cure me either. And I've been doing this over and over and over. And Zacchaeus, I'm sorry, but I don't have any money today. I go to doctor after doctor, and it's been 12 years now. And I just keep on getting worse. And I don't have money. Zacchaeus looks at her and says, I'm going to give you 30 days, lady. But I'm going to be back in a month. And you better have my money. So Zacchaeus, in my imagination, goes to the next door and he knocks at the door. He knocks at the door and this lady comes up to the door. And she says, may I help you? And Zacchaeus says, is your husband home? Is the man of the home here? And she says, oh, no. She says, who are you? He says, I'm Zacchaeus. I'm the tax collector. And I'm here to get some money. Where's your husband? She says, oh, my husband. He hasn't been here for a while. He used to be here. And he used to have a good job, but something happened over the years. My husband is crazy. I know some ladies say, yeah, my husband's crazy too. No, I'm not talking about that kind of crazy. I'm talking about really crazy. He's crazy. He is, Zacchaeus, you got to understand, he's foaming at the mouth. He's crazy. He cuts himself. He is probably right now, you know what, at Rose Hills, and he hangs out in the cemeteries, and he cuts himself, and he yells and he screams and nobody can control him. My husband's not here. And he used to have a job and we used to have plenty of money. But I don't have any money for you. Can you give me 30 days? He says, ma'am, I'll give you 30 days. But I'm not giving you any more than 30 days. You owe me money. You owe me taxes. And I'm going to be back in 30 days to get my money. Goes to the next door and he knocks. And a woman answers the door. And when he sees this woman, he can tell she's been crying. Her eyes are all puffy. She's wiping away the tears. And he can tell she's upset. He says, ma'am, I don't mean to come at this bad time, but I got to tell you, I've been looking at my books, and yes, you owe money. And I'm the tax man. I'm here to collect taxes from you. And she said, I don't have any money. if you would have come a little earlier, you know what, in the month I had some money, but our son unexpectedly passed away. And funeral expenses are a lot nowadays. We had to spend all our money in getting our son a casket and taking care of the funeral expenses. He said, well, ma'am, I'm sorry that this has happened to you, but it doesn't change anything. You still owe me money, and I need my money. So I'll tell you what I do. I'm in a good mood today, so I'm going to give you 30 days. But I'm going to be back in 30 days. When I come back in 30 days, I'm expecting my money. Well, Zacchaeus went on that day and that next week and the next week. And he continued to collect money because that's what his job was. He was a tax collector. But 30 days went by and he looked at his book and he said, oh my goodness, I've got to go back to those people because they owe me money. And I told them 30 days. So he went back to the first door that he had given grace to and he knocked on the door. As he knocked at the door, a man very quickly opened the door. But before he opened the door, he wasn't even sure he was at the right house because the grass had all been mowed. The front door that needed painting and the shutters that were falling off, the door was painted, the shutters were back on. I mean, this house looked beautiful. He had to check and say, man, this don't seem like the right house. But as he checked the address, it was the right house. And this man opened the door. And as this man opened the door, he he said, I'm sorry, I was here about a month ago, and there were some taxes that were due. And I'm here to receive my taxes. I'm here to receive my taxes. Do you have them? I talked to a blind man 30 days ago. Is he here? He said, yeah, he's here. But he's not blind anymore. He said, don't you recognize me? You're talking to me 30 days ago. He said, I'm Bartimaeus. He said, you're the blind man? He said, I am the blind man, but I'm not blind anymore. He said, Zacchaeus said, what happened to you? He said, well, it was about 30 days ago, right after you left. And I was out begging, because that's what I did. I was begging for money. And I was there begging. And even though I couldn't see, he said, I could hear really well. And out in the distance, I heard people shuffling and something going on. And I asked, what's going on? And they said, Jesus is coming. And so I stood up. I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe if I cried out loud enough that Jesus would come and perhaps heal me. And so I started shouting, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they told me to shut up, but I didn't care about them. I saw the opportunity I had. I knew that Jesus was the one that could heal me. And so I shouted even louder. I said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the most miraculous thing happened. It was so awesome. Jesus heard me. And then he told those that were telling me to be quiet, he told them to be quiet. Matter of fact, he told them, hey, you get him and you bring him here. And I had my coat off, but I took my coat and I threw it off me. And I walked up to Jesus. And then Jesus said the most miraculous thing. He said this. He says, what? What do you want me to do for you? Oh. I knew exactly what I wanted. I wasn't going to lose my opportunity. This was Jesus. This was Jesus in front of me. And I said, Jesus, here's what I want. I want to be able to see. And Jesus that day gave me my sight back. He said, how did that? Bartimaeus, that's amazing. He said, yeah. And I got a job. And I work now. And I cut the grass now. And now my home isn't the junkiest home on the street. It's one of the nicest homes on the street. And I got money in my pocket. Matter of fact, here, I got some money. I got your tax money. Here you go. And he gave Zacchaeus his tax money. And Zacchaeus, still bewildered, says, how did that happen? He says, I'm not sure. He said, let me tell you what it was. It was the grace of God. His unmerited favor, which is what grace is, given to me. He said it was amazing. You know what it was? You ask me what it was, I'll tell you what it was. It was amazing. It was amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He said, Bartimaeus, I once was lost, but now I am found. Zacchaeus, let me tell you, I was blind, but now I see. Zacchaeus leaves with money in his hand. And he's thinking, what in the world? And he goes to the next house and he knocks on the door. And a lady answers the door. And he thinks he recognizes the lady, but kind of not. Because the lady that answered the door 30 days ago was disheveled and her hair was a mess and she was, but this lady was smiling and she had joy. Her hair was combed and her dress was neat and she had joy and she said, I know who you are. You're the tax collector. And she said, just a minute. And she ran to her purse and she got money out of her purse. And she said, you know what? I got your money. And Zacchaeus said, ma'am, I don't mean to be rude, but something's happened to you. Can you tell me what happened? Because you look different. She said, thank you for asking. Let me tell you what happened. What happened to me? She said, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I heard of a man named Jesus. And I heard that there was healing in his wings. I heard that he caused the lame to walk and the blind to see. And I thought, well, God's not a respecter of persons. There's other people that can keep me down and say that I'm less than because I'm a woman. Say that I'm unclean because I have this issue of blood. But I know God, He doesn't feel that way about me. And so she said, I found where Jesus was going to be one day. And even though there was people all around, I fought through those people. And I got close enough to Jesus, and I kept on saying, all I got to do is get to Jesus. He is the healer, and He's going to heal me, and all I've got to do is touch the hem of His garment, and if I touch it, I'm going to be healed in the name of Jesus. And so I fought through, and I didn't care what other people thought about me, but I was able to touch Him, and as soon as I touched Him, I felt this power leave out of Him, and it came into my body, and I knew that flow of blood had dried up from in me. I knew that Jesus didn't heal me from the outside in, but healed me from the inside out. You see, Zacchaeus, there was a hole in my economic boat, and I kept on having to pay this bill and that bill, and I'd turn around and there'd be another bill, and Jesus came and He plugged up that hole in my economic boat. He not only healed my body, but Zacchaeus, I've got your money today. I've got your money today. Zacchaeus looked at her and said, wow. Who did that for you? She said, Jesus. She said, let me tell you something, Zacchaeus. God has been so good. God has been so good. God has been so good. He's been so good to me. He restored my flesh. God, He restored my flesh. He has restored my flesh. He's so good to me. Zacchaeus left that house with that money in his hands. He went to the next door and he knocked on that door. Someone answered the door. And a man answered the door. He said, Are you the man of the house? I was here a month ago, and I think your wife answered the door, but are you the man of the house? He said, I am. He said, do you have my money? I'm the tax collector. Your wife said she'd have it in 30 days. She'd try to have it in 30 days. He said, oh, yeah, I got it right here. And he reached in his pocket, and he handed Zacchaeus the money. And Zacchaeus said, what happened to you? Because 30 days ago, your wife said you were nuts. He said, oh, she was right. I was nuts. I was so nuts. I had so many demons inside me. And the demons inside me controlled me. And they'd tell me what to do. And they'd tell me even to cut myself. The man showed him his arms, and you could see scars all throughout his arms. He said, but something happened. His name was Jesus. And Jesus came, and He spoke to those demons. And those demons were freaked out. And those demons they ask him, they said, can we go into those pigs? And Jesus said, you may. And those demons came out of me. And they went into the pigs, and then the pigs ran over a cliff and they all drowned. And I was standing there. And I felt like I'd never felt the peace of God before. I wasn't worried about anything. I was full of joy and contentment and the grace of God. I knew that my life was changed forever. God, the God of the universe, had come to me and set me completely free. I had no care in the world. I was at peace. And I came home. And as I came home, my wife was freaked out, but she saw me and she knew, oh my goodness, this is my husband, but this is not the husband that I saw before. And he said, God has restored my family. And I'm able to work now. And I have a good job. And you have your money. Zacchaeus looked at him and said, what happened to you? What happened to you? And he said, Jesus, there's just something about his name. He's now my master. He's my Savior. He's my Jesus. Like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about, oh, there's something about, yes, Zacchaeus, there's something about that. Zacchaeus left and he is amazed. He doesn't expect that he's going to get this money from these people. He's got the money in his pocket. And he goes to the next door. He knocks. When he knocks, this boy answers the door. And he says, son, is your mom home? And he says, no, she's not home. She went to the store. She's buying some dinner for tonight. She went to the store. Do you need anything? He says, well, I'm the tax collector, and your mom said she'd have my money in 30 days. He said, oh, yeah. My mom told me you'd probably be coming by today. She said, here's your money. Let me get it for you. He went in the back room and came out quickly and gave the money in his hand. Zacchaeus is looking and saying, wow. He said, hey, I heard about your brother. I just want to say I'm sorry for your loss. This little boy looks at him and says, brother? He says, I don't got no brother. What are you talking about? He said, of course you do. I was talking to your mom 30 days ago. She told me about your brother, how he had passed away. He had died suddenly. This little boy smiles at him and says, that was me. Zacchaeus at this point is like, what are you talking about? He said, oh yeah, that was me. He said, what do you mean that was you? She told me he died. He said, yeah, I did die, but something happened. He said, what happened? He said, well, I'm not all sure, to be honest with you, but here's what I can tell you. That all of a sudden, in the middle of nowhere, I heard someone speaking life to my life. And all of a sudden, my eyes opened up and I could feel my heart. And I could feel the blood flow into my arms, into my legs. And I was laying down and all of a sudden I sat up. And when I sat up, I was part of some kind of parade or something. And all these people, you know what? They started to shout and they started to raise their hands and they started to celebrate. And I saw my mom and I could tell that she'd been crying. And all of a sudden she started shouting and dancing. And all these people right in the middle of the street, all of a sudden they were having a party. And I could tell the party had something to do with me. And I learned later that I had died. And I learned later that Jesus Christ stopped the funeral and spoke to me and raised me up out of my coffin. I can just say, oh, yeah. He said, what happened? What happened to you? He says, I'm not sure, but here's what I know. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something, it happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. See, here's what I know. Here's what I can tell you biblically. That the word says that if all that Jesus did was gathered together, that all the books and all the libraries of this world couldn't contain them. I was meditating on that. I was thinking, wait a minute. Jesus was only around 30 years, 30 years for ministry for 3 years. How in the world can that be? And then I looked up the passage and I looked up in the Greek what some of these words meant. And as I looked it up in the Greek, I recognized that it was talking about this totality of ripples that Jesus did. You ever wake up in the morning and you wake up and you smell bacon and your wife is not frying bacon in the room. She's all the way on the other side of the house frying bacon in the kitchen. But that smell of the bacon leaves the living room and it goes down to the hall. And the door is shut, but that smell of the bacon goes underneath the door and it goes and wakes you up. I was thinking of the overflow of ministry. See, Jesus ministers to 12, does he not? But he not only ministers to the 12, because if you study out, those were the apostles, but he also had disciples. And those disciples were probably in the hundreds. And we read it this week. Herod, Pastor George talked about it. Herod goes with the sword or has somebody with the sword violently kill James. James was the pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. He goes to try to pick the top dog trying to shut down these Christianity. but it doesn't shut it down. All it does is spread it out. Because these lives, God is not kind of infected their life. He hasn't kind of changed their life. He, like your life, has radically changed you. How many have been radically changed? Not a little change. You were not a little jacked up. You were really jacked up. You didn't kind of not know the answer. You didn't have a clue of what the answer is. You had no clue. You were completely jacked up. And Jesus has come into your life. And even though there's still issues in your life, you know you are absolutely been changed. And you thank God for what he's done. Come on, who am I preaching to? God didn't fix you a little bit. He fixed you a lot of bit. And that's what happened. These people, they went like... Paul, who was the guy who went to Samaria? Philip. Like Philip. Philip goes to Samaria, and what does he do? From the heart, the mouth speaks. He's just preaching. And all these people get saved. And how many people in Samaria went out and went to somewhere else, and they went to somewhere else, and they went to somewhere else. And at some point in time, somebody came to Pico Rivera, and they saw a field right here that had orange trees on it. And they said, whoa, what if we were able to purchase that land? What if we don't know how to do it, but if we could, what if we purchased that land? And what if, wouldn't that be a good place to put a church? That's what happened. That man pastored for a couple of years, and then his predecessor pastored for 4 years, and then his predecessor pastored for 4 years, and then my dad pastored here for 25 years. I'm just wondering, could we not just fill up just ourselves, just this church? Could we not fill up this library down the street with story after story after story after story? I'm not talking about little stories. I'm talking about huge stories. Completely things that'll just, oh my goodness, God did this to me. What drove Zacchaeus up the tree? The possibility that Jesus could restore a life that was completely jacked up, had all the money that anybody could need, had all the prestige that anybody could need, but it wasn't whole. What caused you to seek Jesus? There's no other name under heaven by which men might be saved. You can go over here. You can. I know this isn't politically correct. You can meditate. You can do, you know what? You can Buddha and Hare Krishna and all these other things. You know, eat 4 eggs in the morning and 8 eggs for lunch and 12 eggs for dinner. Right? I mean, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, this will fix you. This will help you. This will... You know what I mean? What? Birds and sage. All kind of crazy stuff. And at the end of the day, you know what? You'll be like the woman with the issue of blood. You will have spent all your money and got no better. And maybe even Zacchaeus had tried to do some of those things. But Jesus was the one that caused them to climb that tree. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, if there was something that was said today that ministered to you, if you, even knowing Jesus, have a desire to get closer to Jesus, I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. Father, you see all these hands that are up. Our desire is to know Jesus in a greater, more intimate way than we've ever known him before. Help us to be the ones that are doing whatever it takes to meet Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Last but not least, if you don't know Jesus, you just don't know him. You're not sure you know him. If you're not sure you know him, you probably don't know him. Because if you know him, you know him. If that's you, I want you to, again, bow your head. Let's everybody bow their head and close their eyes. Say this with me. Jesus, come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Today, rescue me. I need your help, Jesus. In his name I pray, amen. Now, if you said that prayer, we want to welcome you into the family of God. Amen. Today, you're a Christian. You've stepped into God's family. And he loves you with all his heart. Always has. But now you're in his family. You were always his creation. But until you accepted the blood of Jesus, you're not in his family. Today, you're in his family. Move on in. Get your stuff and move on in. You say, Pastor, how do I move on in? How do I do that? Allow me to help you. Allow me to teach you. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Oh, you're just trying to get everybody. You're just trying to get everybody to watch you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. No. Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get everyone, including you, to allow your pastor to mentor you. We need to be reading the Bible every day. We need to not just say, oh, at Hope Communion, we read our Bible every day. I really don't, but I say it. No, we just need to do it. And I want to do it with you. Not that you can't read it alone. Many days we don't even get through 8 verses. And I tell you, we got through as many as the Holy Spirit has led us to do. Now you read the rest of the chapter on your own. But you can read the chapter on your own. And that's good. I hope you do. But I also hope that you read your chapter with your pastor. How many know God is the one sometimes who leads us to do things? God is leading us as a church to do this. At some point, listen, you've got to trust your pastor. Yes. Maybe I don't know everything, but I know some things. And here's what I know, that you will grow immensely in the next 30 days. Amen. Right? Amen. If you'll allow me to help you. You know what? We're in this together. We're not in this thing alone. We're in this thing together. God has ordained me and Tamara and other pastors in this church. Let's take advantage of what God has done. Let's recognize his wisdom. Stop rebelling, walking on your own. Oh yeah, but I do it my way. Let's do it together. Amen.